Hey everyone, this is Karen, and you're listening to the Raising Tiny Disciples podcast, where parents receive encouragement in their daily journey to disciple their kids to be followers of Jesus. Discipleship isn't a program, it's a lifestyle. Now let's do this. Hey there, welcome back to the podcast. We are entering into session two today, which is the person of the Holy Spirit. Session one was all about the presence of the Holy Spirit. And now the next 4 days, we are going to be talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to give you a little introduction to the session, and then we'll go into day one. So the writer says, I'm in a season of parenting that can feel immensely overwhelming. While motherhood is never boring, nor does it ever fail to expose our weaknesses, certain seasons demand more of us than others. Anyone else feel it? I think it's okay to admit when it's a lot. The enemy doesn't want us encountering God, the Holy Spirit, in a fresh way. He doesn't want us aware of the authority we have over his head games, and he doesn't want us reminded of the hope we have in Jesus. The enemy's scheme is to keep us parenting alone and in fear. He doesn't want us depending on the supernatural power of God, the Holy Spirit, in us. So, she says, this week we are studying how the Holy Spirit is God and why he is so essential in our lives and our parenting. Day one, he is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Of course, most of us would acknowledge that the Holy Spirit is God without any hesitation. We would agree that God eternally exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We would happily affirm the doctrine of the Trinity, meaning that Scripture reveals one God who exists in three co-eternal divine persons. And yet, maybe the way some of us live our lives suggests we also believe the Holy Spirit is the optional person of the Trinity, or the least accessible. So how has the Holy Spirit become the least acknowledged and most forsaken? Whew, yes, that's a good question. Because I can admit that for most of my Christian walk, I did not acknowledge the Holy Spirit. I was just completely ignorant of who the Holy Spirit was and how he operates in our lives as Christians, or how he's supposed to operate in our lives as Christians. And I think that that's just kind of, I don't think that we mean to ignore the Holy Spirit. I think it's just ignorance, honestly, on our part. And maybe we are a part of a denomination that doesn't really shed a lot of light on the Holy Spirit, which was my case, being raised Southern Baptist. You know, the Holy Spirit just wasn't mentioned very often, you know, probably only mentioned like during baptism when they say, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You know, he was so just very elusive. And I was always so curious about the Holy Spirit. You know, he just seemed so far, so distant, so unimportant, honestly. So she asks this question, why does it matter in your motherhood that you know the Holy Spirit is God? She says, hold on to that answer and let's open our Bibles to discover just a few of the places where we see the Trinitarian God on display and why it matters for us today. After all, we need to know who he is before we can trust what he does, right? So we're going to look at the Trinity in Scripture. God eternally exists as three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There is one God, and each person in the Trinity is fully God. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are inseparable. We can't have faith in God without Christ's sacrifice and then receiving the Spirit. Our faith actually means participating in God's eternal triune life and communion with him. So I know like the Trinity is almost hard to grasp, right? It's like our human minds can really have a hard time grasping the Trinity, and it's even harder to try to explain it to children. But we just have to, you know, have faith and believe that He is three in one, and each person of the Trinity kind of operates a little bit differently, but we need to be connected to all three parts to have the fullness of, our walk as a Christian. So we're going to start looking at some scripture. So let's look in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. And we're gonna look and see how in scripture from the very beginning we see the triune God. So Genesis chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surfaces," or the surface of the waters. So who created the heavens and the earth? And who was hovering over the waters? Can you picture it? The Spirit was positioned to accomplish what God planned. He was hovering over the water, bringing order and calm to the chaos. Oh, to think that He hovers over our homes, desiring to bring calm to the chaos within our walls. Do it, Lord. So now we're going to read John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So the Word was in the beginning, and of course we know the Word to be Jesus. The description of creation highlight all three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, working together in the creation of the world. God is one and He is three, and it has always been this way. Okay, so we're going to look at some more places in Scripture where we see the Trinity. So in Genesis 1:26, in the creation narrative, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." In Genesis 3:22, during the fall of man, the Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become like one of us in knowing good and evil." In Genesis 11:7, when the people had become too proud and attempted to build the Tower of Babel to rule over creation, God said, "Come, let us go down." And there confused their language so that they may not understand one another's speech. So we see Him saying "our" and "us." And then in Isaiah 6:8, during Isaiah's commission, he heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" It's very interesting that all of those scriptures depict a triune God. So now let's jump into the New Testament. In the book of Acts, chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 3 through 4. "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God." So who did Peter say Ananias lied to in verse 3? He says the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 4, he says that he lied to God. So what's the significance of this? So this scripture attests that the Holy Spirit is God. Lying to the Holy Spirit is lying to God. And in John 14:26, we find one of the most profound teachings of the Trinitarian being of God in just one sentence. Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So Jesus said the Father would send the Spirit in the name of the Son. That's really interesting to me how that verse is worded. But because God is so different from us, it can be hard for us to wrap our minds around the way that He works in general, let alone the way His triune being plays out. So let's look at Matthew 28:19, which says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." So then we see that Trinity again in that scripture. So now we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's function and purpose. The Holy Spirit carries the same authority and shares the same attributes as God the Father and God the Son. But like all persons of the Godhead, he is distinct from them and he performs specific functions. God the Holy Spirit does specific work, supernatural work, in exalting God the Son to the glory of God the Father. The Spirit's presence is the manifestation of the Trinity among us today. So, do we believe that? Do we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, is the one who manifests God the Father's power in our lives? Maybe we need to look in the mirror and remind ourselves at the beginning of each day that the same God who spoke the universe into existence is the one who indwells us by His Spirit. Now, we understand why it matters so much in our motherhood that we know the Holy Spirit is God. We can do hard things as moms and navigate hard seasons with our children, not because of anything we bring to the table, but because God's Spirit in us is more than sufficient for our struggles. The reality of "I can't" brings the relief of "He can." Nothing is impossible for Him, and everything that is His is ours. Not just some things, not even most things, everything. So how much pressure do you feel to hold all things together for your children when it feels like it is all falling apart? How does this pressure impact how you parent? I think as moms, we have all that kind of pressure on ourselves, right? To hold everything together, to balance everything, you know, on the plate of life. And we feel like it's all up to us, that we have to do it on our own and in our own power. So it's a huge relief that actually we don't have to do it in our own power, because we are human and we are just not capable of doing it all. But we can rely on the Holy Spirit to strengthen us, and it's through Him that we are made strong. When we are weak, He is made strong through us. Okay, so now we're going to read a passage in Colossians, and this is a really impactful part of scripture for me. As I read this, it really hit me. Some things really hit me, and we're going to talk about this. So we're in Colossians chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 15 through 20. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through Him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen realm or unseen world. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else, and He holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is the body. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through Him God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Okay, the part of scripture that really kind of stuck out, you know, it's talking about He existed before anything was created, and that He created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. Because, you know, in Genesis, we see, you know, the 6 days of creation. But here it's talking about how He created the things that we can't see, the thrones, the kingdoms, the rulers and authorities in the unseen world. And that is just really mind-blowing, you know, that there's so much that we don't see that was created by him. And I cannot wait for the day that we get to see it all. It's going to be amazing. But in verse 17, who does it say holds all things together? It says he existed before anything else and he holds all creation together. Jesus reconciled us to God and he reigns supreme over all our earthly struggles. He gives us what we need to face each new day while we rest in the assurance that he has covered what we can't control. But let's be honest, it doesn't always feel that way, right? Sometimes I cry out, Lord, do you really hold all things together? Because right now it feels like you're letting it all fall apart. How have you witnessed his faithfulness when it feels like things are falling apart? I think sometimes like it's us and our lack of trust and faith in the Lord, that it feels like things are just falling apart around us instead of trusting him that he is holding it all together, even when we can't see it. I think that's huge. I think it's our lack of trust and faith in him that causes us to question him. Right. There's more. The invisible becoming visible speaks to the gracious nature of God and letting us see the image of God in Jesus' incarnation on earth and in letting us experience the power of God through the testimony of Jesus' life and the Holy Spirit's working in our hearts and minds. Let's take a moment to think about this knowledge, how this knowledge can impact our kids. How does this empower my parenting? What situations are your children currently facing where they need to know they have the Holy Spirit to help them and empower them? So, I have a child right now that is not doing well in school. Not terrible, but not as well as I know that she can do. So, this may be a conversation that I need to have with her that she can do better. You know, being empowered by the Lord. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if she feels anxious while she's taking her tests, or maybe she's not paying attention as much as she needs to. So that's a conversation I need to have with her. And just let her know that, you know, through Christ, she is capable of all things. So what we're discovering to be true for us is also true for our kids. The Holy Spirit's power doesn't kick in at a certain age. When our kids believe in Jesus, they have the Holy Spirit. All right, she goes into talking about how she often prays for her children to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and to be empowered by him. And she says, we can encourage our children in every trial or fear they face. You have the Holy Spirit. That's what we need to be telling them. You are never alone in anything you go through. When you feel afraid, when you face temptation, when you feel left out, when your heart feels sad, when anxious thoughts fill your mind, God's power is inside you through his Spirit. Nothing is impossible for him, and everything he has is yours. So where do you see windows of opportunity to weave this good news into conversations or situations with your children? Moms, God the Holy Spirit is alive and accessible to you today. Live like that's true, tell it to your children, and live in anticipation of what he will do. So I hope you feel encouraged by today's session. In this lesson for today, day two, we're going to talk about how the Holy Spirit is equal. And so just continue to listen for more encouragement in the Never Alone Bible study. Thanks for listening to the Raising Tiny Disciples podcast. Keep tuning in each week to get encouragement to confidently disciple your kids in everyday life.